It's time for the one show that takes you into the world of coaching. The only business that looks at your business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Coach Doug Gefeller.
This is Doug Gefeller talking to you about coaching.
did I botch that bad enough here?
you know, we're having a few. Okay, we've got the technical difficulties out of the way.
That's right.
Ready for a great show.
That's it.
Thanks,
it's a
Paul.
New year. You know, I was trying to do something cute, and it didn't come out so cute. So,
well, look, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is using job descriptions as a coaching tool. And we're going to discuss how to turn this staple of HR departments, job descriptions, into a dynamic tool for your coaching conversations. But first, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests while you're there. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, or HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and I'll get back to you. Hey, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up last week's show. If you missed it, boy, you missed a great show. It was Fix Them or Fire Them, the title of a book by author Stephen Scherer. Stephen was with us. You definitely want to go to our website and listen to the podcast, which is up and waiting for you now. Stephen shared the inside story behind his book and some real-life examples of how his performance system can be used and hopefully prevent those painful termination conversations. So great, great discussion last week. Very, very useful book. I've recommended it to a number of people already, and it is one of the standards now on my bookshelf here. Well, my electronic bookshelf. Let's see. Let's get some commercial out of the way. Who we are. We've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. I got to update that. It's been 19 years. And helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. And doing that, we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level person, coaching for people who want to sharpen particular business skills, and communication workshops. So those are some of the things we do and have been doing for 19 years now. If we can help you, drop us a line, go to our website, and let's talk. February, the ICF Orange County chapter meeting is going to be on the 13th in the evening at the Wyndham Hotel in Costa Mesa. So if you want more information on the speaker and the topic, go to coachesoforangecounty.com. They've got a number of websites, but I think that one will get you to it. Okay, we've got the mechanics out of the way. Well, look, at the start of the show, as we said, our topic is using job descriptions as a coaching tool. And we're going to discuss how to turn this standard tool, this document that most everybody has somewhere in their desk. And if you've got an HR department, they've probably got a series of three-ring binders with job descriptions for everybody in the company. My experience is most of them are covered in dust. Nobody's read it. I can't believe how many times I've asked people, do you have a job description? And they go, well, I don't know. Maybe I do. Let me check. And then they come back and do some digging and come up with a job description. Obviously, it isn't anything that they use. Well, I think job descriptions can be very, very useful. I don't think there's something that you do and you file away. And I think particularly for coaches, I have found some interesting, what I think are some creative ways to use job descriptions with my clients to solve a number of problems. But before that, let's talk a little bit about what's in a typical job description. You know, there's a lot of different ideas. Generally, it's a list that a person might use for general tasks or functions. Maybe it tells the responsibilities that It may include who the position reports to. It might talk about the qualifications or skills that are needed to do the job. Sometimes the job description includes a salary range. These days, it's more and more common to find out it also includes some information as to where the job will be performed, you know, whether this is all being done at the company offices in XYZ City or whether this is something that is being done at home or online or some combination of virtual and real locations. Job descriptions are many times narrative, but probably more frequently they're comprised of a list of things. How do you get this job description? You know, where does it really come from? Well, usually it's done by an analysis of an existing job, which includes what, you know, you look at somebody and you go, what do you do? What are the tasks that you do on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and the first of the month and the last day of the month? And what are some of the subtasks that you have to do to get to those tasks? And to do those, what kind of information do you need? What kind of knowledge do you have to have? Or what kind of special skills? More and more these days, especially since our economic downturn of the 2000s there, the question is the job description may include a number of roles. Many people are filling more than one position. So their job description may cover multiple roles. One of the things that I don't see a lot in job descriptions, but I think is a great idea, is rather than just explaining the current situation or the work that currently is expected, does it set out any goals for the future? This can be really a very interesting thing, particularly when you're using the job description to give it to new hires and you want them to be excited about where this position is going, maybe more than a list of tasks that they're currently going to be doing. Maybe you want to add a goal section that says, here's some goals that are available that you could shoot for, that maybe they're stretch goals, but it goes beyond what you're doing right here today. You know, what is the real purpose of the job description? You know, I think the number one purpose, most people think it's, well, in case I don't come in tomorrow, somebody can pick up this job description and do my job. Well, you know, today's environment is pretty complex, and I don't know too many job descriptions that are written well enough, complete enough, and kept up to date so that somebody could come in next Monday and fill your position. More likely, the job description gives somebody an idea of what would have to be done rather than go through the step-by-step of how to do it. So many times the key purpose of a job description is to lay out the expectations we have for the employee in this particular position. Again, very, very helpful when you're doing recruiting is to be able to tell somebody these are the expectations. The other purpose of a job description, many purposes, but some others are to manage the employee's performance. In other words, now that you've laid out the expectations in this job description, when we're doing our reviews, I have something to measure by. This is what I expected. Here's how your performance is exceeding or meeting or falling short of those expectations. Job descriptions many times are negotiable. I don't think I've ever talked to an employee who's been in a company for more than a year where the job description that they were given the day they came to work is still the job that they're currently doing. You know, we sort of define the job as to this is what the person needs to do. And then on a daily basis, we walk by and go, oh, hey, Doug, by the way, could you do this? Could you take on this? Or could you do that for me? Or, you know, that thing you did for me last month that worked out so great, could you do it every month from now on? And those things don't end up in the job description many times. So this job description should really be a dynamic, living, breathing document that is constantly updated for those new things that keep getting added. And if you do that, then it also can help you with managing the workload for your people, or managing your own workload. You know, for those of us who maybe aren't reporting to anyone, we just keep taking on more and more tasks, and we never really update our job description to show what we've now defined the job to be. And if we did, we might take a deep breath, look at it, and go, my goodness, no wonder I'm feeling stressed. No wonder I'm working Saturdays. No wonder I can't get out of here at 6 o'clock at night. I have basically created an impossible job for one person. So workload management is something that is easier if you've got a job description that's been kind of kept up to date. It also really helps in that it provides a document that the supervisor, the employee can sit down and maybe start to list priorities. Hey, these things are the priorities, and these other things maybe don't have to be done, or maybe we need to get somebody else to do them. The job description becomes key when we start talking about succession planning. We can look at what the skills are, the knowledge, the experience to do this job, and we can start to plan for who else do we have that can take this on. Many times, having a good job description helps you create training and development programs. It clearly lays out the expectations for the employee, and you and the employee can sit down and go over it, the manager, and look at it and go, hey, to do this, there needs to be some additional training. There needs to be some different, some development. Obviously, the job description can be used to deal with that issue of pay, of compensation. We agreed on what your compensation would be when I hired you last year, and I gave you the job description, the two-page job description, and guess what? As we talk about it now a year later, we've been keeping that job description up to date, and it's now 5 pages long. Maybe the compensation needs to be adjusted for the changes that we've made with that. So one of the key things, and I'm going to get to how to use this in coaching in a minute, but I first kind of want to set the background of really what's in a job description and how is it typically used in today's environment before we go any further, because I don't think people are using them as a daily or as a current management tool. They're looked upon as something that's required that gets filed away, and that's not it at all. You know, the job description really gets to the heart of what are the objectives of this position? Why does the job exist? It has been enlightening for me when people have talked about the fact that we need to hire somebody. We just have got too much work. Okay, what are you going to have that person do? Have you written a job description for the position? Well, no, we need more people. Well, let's sit down and write a job description first. Okay, what do you want the position to do? Well, all of a sudden, as you start to define that and create that job description, many times what happens is you realize that maybe those things don't need to be done. Maybe those things are things that somebody else in the company could do. Or maybe there's more things than one person could do. Or maybe we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. But that job description, that discipline of writing, keeping it up to date, really helps you get clear on why the position exists. It lets you estimate the amount of time that's going to get spent on each task. One of the other key things is it deals with the issue of what is your tolerance for hiring somebody that doesn't have full knowledge of the job. You know, very seldom do we ever hire somebody that the day they walk in, they can fill the job perfectly efficiently as we have described it. we typically write a job description that is for the experienced, trained person who's been around for a long time and knows how to do everything. And we're gonna come back to that in our coaching conversation about what to do with it. The other function in the job description is not just for the employee. What is the job description telling the manager? What is the job description telling the manager they need to do to manage this person or to manage these tasks? The job description sort of identifies what are the key things in this position, how important are they, which lets the manager decide what's their level of involvement they want. Is it one of working side by side with the employee? Is it one of review approving the information before it goes anywhere? Or is it one of just being made aware of what has been done? So it is a tool not just for the employee, but it is a tool for the manager looking at the job descriptions of their employees to look at it and go, what are these job descriptions telling me in terms of my obligation to manage these people? It tells me, really, what's the knowledge and the skills required, and then I can do an assessment on what's the knowledge and skills that the people currently have today, and where are the gaps between those things we've defined in the job description that we want and those things that we've surveyed and found this is what we actually have sitting out at the desks today. Now, I've got a gap there. What am I going to do about that? What kind of training programs, what kind of development programs do we now want to start to do? How important is it to solve that gap? How much money am I willing to spend on reducing or minimizing that gap? So it can cover those things. Now, the job description also covers frequently who does the position interface with? Is this an internal position only that doesn't talk to any other departments, or is this a position that has communication with other departments in the company? Is it a position that interfaces with people in the field? Does it interface with our vendors? Does it interface with our customers? Or does it interface with the public? So again, those are key things that you want to identify because they start to make you more aware. They bring to the forefront what are the skill sets that are going to be necessary for the person to deal with this. The same way we're identifying who they contact and who they work with, we're looking closely at what are the physical demands for the job. Now, with today's federal and state laws, we're probably more aware than we were in the past, but we're still not aware enough. What's the lifting requirement? What is the walking requirement? What are the physical demands of this position that we're placing on it? One of the things that maybe we're sensitive to, well, this position is going to have to lift 50 pounds, so I need somebody who's, you know, fairly strong, or this position is going to require a lot of walking around, so I need somebody who is able to run or walk a lot of the day. But what about the opposite extreme? This position requires you to sit at the desk and not ever get up 8 to 10 hours a day. What are the demands that that places on the person? And in fact, are we comfortable with having designed a job that requires that? Is that going to end up giving me carpal tunnel issues? Is that going to end up creating problems? Do I need to buy special chairs for those people who never get to get up? Do I need to pay more attention to the lighting and the ergonomics of their computer workstation? Job descriptions always identify the work hours. We talked about the location. Where are you working? What hours are you working? What kind of travel conditions? Are there any other work conditions? Do you need to be available 24/7 by cell phone? Do you need to work 2 weekends a month? Do you need to be available for overtime whenever it's required? All of those things, if they're spelled out in the initial job description and reviewed with your new hires or your newly promoted people, all those things go towards eliminating issues later on because you've laid out your expectations, you've discussed them with the person taking over the position, and they've agreed to those expectations, we now have reached an agreement. We have a bargain. Doesn't mean that issues may not come up, but at least we've initially identified what we are each willing to bring to the party here. And, you know, it is sad when somebody has worked for the company for 90 days for them to be called in and told, we're not sure about your commitment because you've been going home every night at 5 o'clock. Well, yeah, you said the job was 8 to 5. Well, it is 8 to 5, but if you want to get ahead around here, we expect you to stay till 6 or 7 o'clock. Well, that wasn't explained. And, hey, guess what? I may have personal commitments. I can't stay past 5 o'clock. Well, that's not going to work out now. So you want to identify all of these things early on. The other thing that a job description lets you do is it lets you look at where are my backup opportunities. You know, we've talked about succession planning, but what about those emergency situations? What about those, you know, what about that 2-week vacation, or the company has a policy of letting you take a sabbatical? How are we going to get somebody to do your job if we haven't really identified what that job is all about? Those are really the key elements that go into a job description, and that is the document that we're sort of talking about when I say job description. Now, the thing for me that I really wanted to get to today is some of the experiences that I've had in coaching my clients in where the job description document with some modification has turned out to be absolutely a fantastic tool for identifying and helping with coaching problems. And there's three main areas that I want to sort of briefly talk about. One is new hires. The other is people that are unhappy with their present job. And the third is transition situations where people are moving out of a job or moving into a job. So let's take the new hire kind of first. We'll go at this thing sort of chronologically. You know, we've talked about the job description that you're given to a new hire sort of clearly identifies your expectations of what the results will be from a person that is fully qualified and trained and able to do this job. What it doesn't identify is what is your tolerance, what are your expectations for how long it's going to take this person to become the fully trained, fully trusted, fully responsible, experienced person that can do the job as you've described in this job description. In other words, let's take a ridiculous example. I hire a new person to work in the accounting department, and their job description says that they are going to submit the payroll information for the whole company to our payroll processing company on the second Thursday of every month. But guess what? Day one, they don't get to do that because I don't know that they're doing it right. They've never done it before. I've never checked what they've done before. I don't know how accurate they are. I think they're the right hire. We've hired them. They said they had experience. We checked some references, but really we don't know each other. So for the first 2 or 3 months, I might say that before you submit this payroll information, you give it to me to review. Or I might say that the first couple of times we're going to sit side by side and do this together. Or I want the person who did the job before, who's still with us, to go over your submittal before it goes to the payroll company. So there is an expectation of what you're going to be able to do, which is what the job description spells out. But what most job descriptions, what job descriptions never define is, what is the transition for the new hire from day one to when we would expect them to be fully taking over that job on their own without any review or checking? So what I've done with many of my clients is we're looking at identifying expectations for new hires is to get the manager to identify what is the time frame that you're willing to give this person before they are on their own meeting the expectations. And have you conveyed that to them in such a way that they understand it? I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than you hired me. I know how good I am. You gave me the job description. I know I can do this. And I show up day one all excited, and you go, hey, Doug, before you do any of those things, I want somebody to review and check it because I really don't know you. I don't trust you. I'm not sure you know how to do it. You may not understand our way of doing things. And I feel like, wow, there's not a lot of confidence in me. I don't know if I like working here. But if you've given me a job description that sort of lays out, here's the ideal, but in the first 30 days, this is the way you're going to do this task. You're going to do it, and somebody's going to work with you on it. In the next 30 days, this is the way you're going to do that task. You're going to do it, and somebody's going to review it after you're done. And by the end of 90 days, I would expect that you're doing it on your own as laid out in the job description without anybody having to check you. So I'm looking at developing a progressive job description that says from day one, here's the way the job's going to work, and we're going to work towards this ultimate job description. At the same time that the job description is progressive, the management involvement is regressive. In other words, I'm going to identify that over that period of time when you're taking on more and more responsibilities, I'm going to be, as your manager, less and less involved. And we've agreed to that. And by the way, this job description with these target dates and this progression of responsibility and regression of direct management, that at these key review points, which might be 30, 60, 90 days, whatever you want to define, depending on the complexity of the job, that we are going to sit down at these points and have a formal meeting, even though we might talk every single day, and I'm kind of training you and we're kind of having discussions. Those daily discussions are all revolve around getting the work done today, getting the task completed. So I want to make sure that at the milestone points that we've identified, that we sit down, take a deep breath, and sit back and go, so I don't think you're doing too well, and you tell me, I think I'm doing great, maybe you've missed something, and let me point it out. And we have this kind of dialogue so that we don't end up 6 months or a year from now saying, gee whiz, you didn't work out, Doug, and it's a big surprise to Doug. So we're looking at a progressive job description for the new hire with a regressive direct management involvement. Okay? The same kind of concept is going to apply in the other areas. But before we go on to that, let me just take a quick break here for a commercial. Give me a chance to grab a glass of water, and then we'll be right back and sort of wrap this up. But, you know, I want you to understand how coaching, using the job description can be a great tool for your coaching. All right, be right back with you.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And now back to Doug and his discussion.
Okay, we're talking about using job descriptions as a coaching tool, and we've kind of gone through what's in the job description. We've talked about how you might use that with a new hire by creating a progressive job description as they take on more responsibility and identifying a regressive involvement of management as they take on, as the employee takes on more responsibility with formal review points. Now, let's look at another situation, and this is a very common coaching situation where you're asked to coach somebody at whatever level. I don't care whether it's the owner, CEO, or whether it's a middle manager, but they're not happy with their job. When you get down to the coaching conversation, what you end up with hearing is they don't really like their job, but they don't know what they want to do. You know, and it's sort of like when you ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up, unless you're talking a small child? Small children are very clear on what they want to be when they grow up. But teenagers and college graduates many times have difficulty with the issue, what do I want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? It's like too big a question. I don't know how to answer it. It's the same thing with people that aren't happy with their job. I've been in this job for 5 years, and I'm just not happy with it. I don't know what's wrong. So what you want to do in that case, what I found very helpful, is to ask the individual, do you have a job description? No. Would you prepare a job description? And we go through what's in a job description. If you have one, pull out the job description. Now take the one you prepared and take the one that you already have and identify those tasks, those functions that you enjoy doing, that if it was up to you, you would keep doing those things. Those things are really fun. That's why I come to work. And then identify the things that you hate doing, that you don't like to do. And by the way, as you're doing that, are there some things that you're not doing that you see in the company that you would like to do? So before we make the conclusion that this is the wrong company, that you're in the wrong profession, that you should have been a brain surgeon, not a radio announcer, let's take a look at that job description and take baby steps with it. What do you like? What don't you like? What would you like to add to it if it was up to you? Once we've sort of identified that, and that is a great, rich conversation that can go on for a number of sessions about really getting clear about the things you like or don't like to do, and then sort of extracting from them the bigger picture of what's the kind of role that you're happy in, what motivates you, you know, and in fact, is there some flexibility here that perhaps we could negotiate a change in your job description? Is this something that you've ever talked to anybody about? Have you ever gone to your manager and said, hey, I've marked up my job description. Here's the things I like. Here's the things I don't like. Here's some other things I'd like to take on. What do you think? Is there an opportunity to do that? Or are we so fixed on this that there is no discussion available? Either way, you're going to get an answer. And whether you like the answer or don't like it, at least you've got an answer and you now know where you can go with it. So I have found that the conversations around I don't like what I'm doing get much more focused when you ask the person to pull their job description or create their job description, and you start to go through with the plus and minus and missing pieces of it. The third and last area that I want to talk about, which has really been in many cases a real eye-opener for me with some clients, is the area of transition. I started to read a really interesting book written by Jane Pauley. I wish I could think of the name of it. I can't think of it offhand. And it sort of followed on with her TV show, talking about people that sort of reinvented themselves, people that reached the second half of life, or people that retired and now had to figure out what they were going to do. And the premise here is that so often we don't prepare for that. It is very common for coaches to be in a business situation to be called in and told, you know, I'm tired of business is successful. I don't want to work full-time. I don't want to work 60-hour weeks anymore. I want to work less. I don't want to sell the company. I just want to sit back and do this function or that function. So the thing is, what a great opportunity to say, okay, tell you what, pull your job description. Don't have one. Write your job description. What is it you currently do? All right, now that you've defined what you currently do, tell me your dream job description. Tell me what it would look like if it could really be the one you want. Well, I would only come in once a week, and I would have a brainstorming meeting with the staff about how things were going, and then I'd leave, and I wouldn't have to do any of the details. Okay, if that's what you'd like to do, then we've got where you are today, where you would like to be. How do we get from A to B? What are the steps in between? This is a regressive job description that takes what you're doing now and how do you start carving pieces out of it so you get to the position that you'd like to have. Now, here's the key thing. As you're doing this, what we have to do is we have to pull the other job descriptions of the people that report to you, and we have to say, you know what? These tasks that you're taking out of yours, whose job description are we going to add them to? Oh, we're going to add them to Paul's job description. Well, guess what? Paul already feels like he's working full time. He can't take anything on. So then we got to pull Paul's job description and go, which things could we take out of Paul's job description and give to somebody else so that he could take on these things that you were doing? You know, this is a domino effect that so often gets missed when we're talking about transition. We focus on the one person only, and we go, they want to get rid of these things, but we don't look at how are we going to do that? And what's the domino effect down the road? The other thing that happens when you're dealing at the executive level with a transition where they're transitioning out is nobody is willing to be less involved in the daily operations unless they have developed a system that gives them data information that makes them comfortable with being less involved. You know, as long as I'm uncomfortable with giving the work to Paul, I'm never going to give it to him. But if you designed a system that said, once a week, Doug, you're going to get a report that tells you what Paul did, and that's often enough, then I'm comfortable not knowing what he's doing daily. So what you've got to look at, along with this regressive job description for the key executive and the progressive job description for the people that are going to take on his stuff, is you've got to look at the development. Where is a support system being developed, a structure that makes them feel comfortable with being less involved in the daily operations? You know, I can't tell you how long I have seen CEOs talk about being less involved in the daily operation. I mean, literally years, and nothing has changed because they've never devoted the time and attention to who would I give this stuff to and what is the system that would be developed that would make me feel comfortable in giving it to them. So I think there is a great opportunity in the transition area to use the job description as a conversation starter, as a focus point, a focal point, to look at how things would change. And as you look at going from what I'm doing now today to what they ultimately want to do, what is the timetable that is laid out? And is this timetable, have you brought in the other people that the work is going to go to, and they've agreed that this is also a reasonable timetable? Can they take it on in the time frame that you're identifying letting it go? And have you both agreed to the structure that's going to make you comfortable with letting it go? So you know, bottom line here is that I have found in the last year in particular that talking about job descriptions in my coaching calls, whether they be for new hires, whether they be for people unhappy with their job, or whether they be for that big, big issue of transitioning people at the senior level into less daily involvement, that the job description creates an opportunity to have a focused conversation. It creates an opportunity to identify all of the little details that if you don't get down to that level, you just get the, well, there's nobody here that can do what I do. And where do you go with that conversation? You know, there may be nobody here that can do some of the things that you do, but my guess is many of the things that you do could be done by other people. And guess what? If we bring them into the conversation, you'd be surprised how many of them not only think they could do what you're doing, but think they could do it better than you're doing it. And how about having that kind of a coaching conversation? So that's kind of what I wanted to get to today. I really want you in your coaching and in your HR work and your hiring and your performance reviews to really think about that job description as a vital living document that needs to be kept up to date, that can be used to create focus in your conversations. Because, you know, some people say all of the issues in business are a result of communication problems. I don't disagree with that, but I'm going to expand it and say 90% of the issues in business are a problem because expectations weren't made clear to people. And the job description is a great way to convey your expectations, whether it is today's job description, a progressive job description that identifies a time frame going forward, or a regressive job description that identifies the less involvement that I'm going to have, the lesser involvement I'm going to have as we go forward. So that's what we wanted to talk about today. I hope that you have spurred some thoughts in your mind. If you've got some ideas on how to do this better, hey, I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a line at Doug@thecoachingperspective.com or go to the website. But this is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for all of your support. We're not going to air next week, but we're going to return on January 30th with an exciting new guest. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I hope that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening. You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.